Now, the National Basketball Association celebrated the league's 75th anniversary last month. But hang on, our guest says there's more to the story. The anniversary leaves out a part of professional basketball history. Before there was the NBA, or even before the two leagues that merged to create the NBA, there was the Midwest Basketball Conference. Pro basketball historian Curtis Harris is with us today to uncover the Midwest's rich basketball history. Curtis is an adjunct professor in the Department of History at American University. Curtis, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
Can you tell us about the early history of this Midwest Basketball Conference? Later eventually merged into the NBA.
Yeah. So, the short version of the story is in 1935, the Midwest Basketball Conference got started, and it was a professional league. But it does sound like a college operation, though. You know, a Midwest Basketball Conference. So just a couple of years later, in 1937, they renamed themselves the National Basketball League. And that league went on for over a decade until 1949, when it merged with the Basketball Association of America to create the National Basketball Association. So as I always say, you do the NBL, National Basketball League, plus the BAA, the Basketball Association of America, you get the NBA, the National Basketball Association. So that's kind of the very short version of the story there.
And you make your case that the NBA with this 75th anniversary is kind of overlooking this key part of professional basketball history in the U.S. Centered in the Midwest. Why? Why are they overlooking this?
No one has ever gotten a straight answer from the NBA as to why they don't get the history correct. So they do tether their start to 1946 when that other league, the BAA, got started, and that was an East Coast league. So that was mainly in New York City, Boston, Philadelphia, Baltimore. Whereas the NBL, that is a Midwestern league, and it was mostly in smaller cities. So like the Oshkosh All-Stars, that was the most successful team of the NBL, but you also had the Fort Wayne Pistons, which are now the Detroit Pistons, the Minneapolis Lakers, now the Los Angeles Lakers, and several other teams like the just many other teams I can name, but that suffices. But I suspect it's the fact that the NBL was in generally smaller cities and not the glitzy, the large metro areas on the East Coast, and the NBA would like to be associated with those larger cities with its history.
Yeah, we had an Oshkosh and a Sheboygan team here in Wisconsin.
Yep.
These were pretty popular, you said, especially in Oshkosh. Some of these mid-sized cities did pretty well with these pro teams.
Yeah, the Oshkosh All-Stars are really like the, I think the banner team for the NBL. They existed, well, they joined in 1937, and they stayed with the NBL through 1949. And if I remember right, my memory's getting a little hazy. If I remember right, they won the NBL title twice in their 12 years of operation. And they had a great center named Leroy Edwards, who was a three-time scoring champion in the NBL. They had some really successful teams in Oshkosh, but unfortunately they were not able to join the NBA when that league got started. So they were kind of left on the sideline in 1949.
Yeah, a big part of the story you tell is that a lot of those original Midwestern teams in the NBL still survive today in different forms, in different cities. How important, like when we look at the modern NBA, the roster of teams there, how much of that comes out of this NBL?
Yeah, so this is a really important point, and why I think people should know about the NBL is that, you know, it just acknowledges the cities like Oshkosh and Fort Wayne and other Midwestern cities that fostered the pro basketball. But these were also really smart operations, and they had the best basketball talent as a league during the 1940s. So when the NBA emerged out of that merger between the two leagues, the best players and the best teams came over from the NBL. So the NBL, they were the league that had George Mikan with the Lakers. Many other guys who listeners might be less familiar with, like Bob Davies with the Rochester Royals. But just they powered the NBA. So like the first six NBA champions were all teams that came from the NBL. And so that just shows you the domination they had over the other league that went into creating the NBA.
Now, pro sports in this era were pretty heavily segregated, basketball no exception.
Yep.
You write that the National Basketball League, it fits and starts, did some desegregating, though they didn't always stick with it. What did we see?
Yeah, so I think this is really important for broader American history because we like to think of, you know, we had segregation and then, you know, flip a light switch, then we had integration, whereas it was a lot messier than that. So the MBL shows that kind of messiness, but it did show nonetheless progress toward desegregation. So the first black player in what becomes the MBL was Hank Williams, and he played for the Buffalo Bison back in 1935. But, you know, during World War II, just love the name. As you might surmise, they were sponsored by Studebaker. Team was majority black. So they had 7 black players and 5 white players. Now it's like the first time in basketball history you had an integrated team that was majority black. And then in 1948-49 season, you had the New York Renaissance, a black basketball team that relocated to Dayton, Ohio to play in the NBL. And so they were called the Dayton Renaissance, but that was an all black team playing in an otherwise all white league. And that's the first time you had the only time in really professional basketball history, you had an all black team playing in a league with white players against white teams. So that just showcases kind of the integration going on in the 30s and 40s before people typically think of integration in pro basketball.
And Curtis, I got to ask, when I hear people who are very excited about the history of a pro sport, it's often baseball. You are clearly super excited about tracking the early days of basketball history. What took you there?
Well, you know, I come from a basketball crazy family. So my dad played basketball. My older brother and sister, they both played basketball. So I guess I had to basically get involved with basketball somehow. Like I played too, but yeah, I got into the history side of it because, as you mentioned, baseball particularly really does focus on it and champion its history. Whereas I think professional basketball, which I think the NBA deserves some blame for this, doesn't do a good job of putting out its own story and getting people excited about its history. So I feel it's really important to know about, you know, the NBL, the NBA, and these other leagues that helped foster and spread the game. Because it's just really just great stories and people to talk about when you look at professional basketball. You know, baseball doesn't have a monopoly on great sports stories. Basketball should be included when we talk about this stuff.
Curtis, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Curtis Harris is an adjunct professor of history at American University. He joined us for a closer look at pro basketball's history here in the Midwest, including teams in Oshkosh and Sheboygan.